You're listening to The People Show.
You come at the King, you best not miss.
Left circle, Besser, one time slot shot, he scores. Brock Besser beats Jordan Binnington on the power play, and the Canucks are up 4-0.
With Seth, Dan, and Randeep.
The biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
On the official home of the Canucks.
Goes all the way down the ice, here's Pettersson after it. He's got a chance at a breakaway. Pettersson in clean, is tripped by Murray, but he scores. Dinky Pete comes out of the box and puts the puck into the back of the net.
Sportsnet 650.
Welcome, citizens of the People Show. We come to you live on Sportsnet 650 on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. It's Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda, the People Show, with you until 3:30 this afternoon, at which point we hand it off to the great Barry Sanders. No, the Canucks pregame show here on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Canucks and Les Habitants live from Le Centre Bell in Montréal, La Belle Provence, coming up later this afternoon. The very same place that Randeep says is the best summer spot in Canada. No questions asked. Debate over. Not his hometown of Vancouver. No. Just Montreal.
You can try to create all the controversy you want. Nobody disagrees with me. Montreal is a hell of a town during the summer.
It is the People's Show, so we need you, the people, to be a big part of it. 650, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. The smart alternative, visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street and Ladder or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. As we look forward to you, the people, joining part of the show with your text messages. We've got a Wrong Answers Only coming. We're playing the People's Trivia at some point for your chance to win lower bowl seats to a Canucks and Penguins game later this week. The Canucks losers last night, once again, to the Boston Bruins. Took a 2-1 lead into the third. End up losing a couple of power play goals scored by the Bruins turn it on its head, but that still doesn't remain the big story, Randy. But it's very strange to be 22 games into a season, and already for more than a week, we're like, yeah, the games are kind of inconsequential at this point. But that's where this organization continues to be.
The games feel like they're secondary. A collapse, which, let's be real, anybody watching that game yesterday kind of saw it coming at the beginning of the third period, where you're saying, okay, Boston's turning it up, Vancouver, this ain't going to last. But that is secondary at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And especially after the news of the weekend coming out of Montreal, where on Saturday night, as I'm sure everybody was enjoying their weekend, I was working Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi, and the news started to trickle in. The Gorton news.
Yeah.
Scott Mellenby news. And on one side of the country, you have all of this going on, and in Vancouver, it's still status quo. It's still, I wonder what's coming next. I wonder when it's coming. What's going to happen? All of these questions through the weekend remain the same. So even though the team loses and a lot happened in that game, there's a potential suspension coming or some sort of fine, or at the very least for a Brad Marchand, there's off the ice comments. There's a lot going on. We're still wondering what's going on with this organization. And I think people in this city are ripping their hair out saying, all right, what is up? Which direction is this going to move in, and when is it going to move?
So how big of an issue is this in that the Canucks haven't made their move yet, and they continue to do their due diligence, wanting to make sure they get this decision right, as we've continued to hear, not going to rush it? I mean, I get all that. Of course, if you're looking at hiring a new general manager and coach, you want to get those decisions right. But you see how quickly the script flipped in Montreal from what the heck is going on with this season? Why are we such a disaster? What is the future of this franchise? Well, you make that change, put the new person in place, have a news conference, lay out a bit of a plan moving forward for your franchise. And all of a sudden, people have things to look forward to again, Randeep. And I think one of the big things, as we've talked about with the discourse amongst the fan base towards this roster right now and this franchise, they don't know what the hope is with this team right now. It's locked in to a lot of salaries over the next few years. They've lost confidence over many years in Jim Benning steering this ship. To a certain level, they've lost confidence in ownership for committing to this management group for such a long period of time, despite poor results. This is why, you know, there's no hope for this team right now, at least from the fan base. Connor Garland can say whatever he wants. Oh, we still got 60 games to figure this out.
Yeah, fans are looking at it differently. Like, oh man, we still got 60 games of this. Like, it's being looked at completely different in the fan base right now.
Yep. It's the exact opposite. And look, players have to look at it a certain way. I get it. They're competitive. They're not going to throw in the white towel. But the reality of this season is gone. And you have to figure out soon, because, again, you have to give people something to hope for. They have nothing left to hope for with this current management group, with the direction of the franchise as it's currently led.
Well, the key word you use there is direction. I think the fan base, I think people that watch hockey in this city, in this province, follow this team globally, they want somebody to set out the direction. And that somebody, after 8 years, doesn't feel like it's Jim Benning anymore. But what did Montreal do? They brought in a hockey ops leader. They brought in an organizational leader to set the vision. That's the most important thing right now. When we talk about direction, we talk about vision, you have to have someone set the plan. And Jim Benning had a plan. Aquilini believed in it as of a month ago. But clearly, that plan has gone on awry. You need to bring in the right people to enact that plan at some point. So I think the most important thing when we talk about, you know, that belief, that direction, look at what Montreal did. They didn't necessarily go after the coach because he's somebody that they brought in last year.
Yeah.
They maybe want to give him an extended look while they figure out what else is going on. But they brought in the top of the organization, similar to what Philadelphia did with Chuck Fletcher a few years back. And they're letting them make the assessment. I think that's what Vancouver wants. You know, maybe not everybody, but we've talked about it on these airwaves where direction is key. Set the vision. Look 10 kilometers down the road. Map it out. Do not look a kilometer down the road or 100 feet or whatever it may be. Direction is the key word. And especially at this point where Connor Garland can say whatever he wants. He is wired a certain way. He's a player that's going to try to give his all every single game. We're going to probably see that tonight against Montreal as well.
Yep.
But watching this team for my whole life, but covering this team for a decade now, direction is the key word. There needs to be a new direction. There needs to be an honest assessment. There needs to be a look in the mirror and say, where are we really? And how do we move forward? And who leads us? Organizational direction is the number one priority right now. And that's a lesson I think you have to look at what Montreal did and say, all right, that is a classic example of when you do make a change, it's got to be thought out and it's got to be a thorough decision, and the direction and the vision of the organization is priority number one.
Yeah. And that's been a big issue, and that goes above Jim Benning's pay grade. It goes into ownership and how they have had, I think it'd be fair to be, say, like fleeting, direction of what they wanted with this group. You know, right away, Jim Benning was tasked with getting this thing back on track and getting the Sedins back into the playoffs, giving them another chance to win a cup. That didn't really work out. They got to the playoffs with Willie D, tried to push forward after that. That obviously didn't really work out. Accidental rebuilds, make it into the playoffs a couple of years ago, maybe based on circumstance, given the COVID-19 pause, have a good, strong playoff appearance, and then ownership shuts the taps off, so you're taking a step back. Now you're back forward again because you're expecting fans back in the building, so now we're pushing back towards the playoffs. Oh, it's not going right. Well, 2 years ago in the bubble, Montreal was in the Stanley Cup Final 6 months ago, and they're saying, something is really amiss here. We need to figure out what is going on in the future of the Montreal Canadiens. They're not talking about 2 years ago when they had a solid playoff appearance. We beat the defending Stanley Cup champs. And hey, I'm right there with a lot of Canucks fans in potentially believing a little bit too much in what I saw in the bubble. Because I haven't seen that version of Elias Pettersson since then. We're going on, what, 16 months now since that last happened? So it's been a while. And yet here we are still wishing, hoping, and praying that that version of Elias Pettersson is going to show back up. That those Canucks are going to rise back and figure it out and be that team that we saw in that bubble against the St. Louis Blues. Because we know what happened against Vegas was just parking the bus and having Thatcher Demko keep you in the game. But that series against St. Louis is essentially what we're looking at. It's almost 2 years ago. The Habs just made the decision months after falling short in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
And saying, ownership said, we don't like the direction of this. We're moving forward. That's a pretty big difference in franchise direction and honesty with itself, conviction in their decisions, than what we've seen here in Vancouver.
Thus far, right? What the future holds, we're not sure, but, you know, the longer this goes, Reach.
They doubled down on it last year. And
they did, but the longer this goes, and this is just me kind of off the top of my head, the longer this goes, you know, if you were going to make a change to wake up the team, the easy out would have been Travis Green, see you later. We're bringing in a new coach, or we're giving Bradshaw the game or the gig, right? The longer this goes, though, I think it's going to be something similar to what we've seen in Montreal. Because what is your incentive to wait otherwise? If you're not going to necessarily wake up the team with a jolt, a short-term jolt, by waiting and doing a thorough assessment of all those candidates that you might be looking at the coaching position, that you might be looking at other parts of the organization, it does feel like a Montreal type of move at some point. When that point is, who knows? But what is the benefit of waiting on a coaching move? There isn't. What is the benefit of waiting on other moves? There probably isn't, unless you're going to make a major, major move similar to what we've seen out east. And that's where I get maybe why you're trying to delay a little bit more, because the change that is coming, it's a big one. And that's where that's what I'm kind of thinking here, because Reach, if you're trying to turn around the season, it would have been after the dismal efforts last week.
Yeah.
If you know, that quick short term jolt.
It
would have been a while ago, at least last week.
Probably would have been even earlier than that. But aren't you putting your organization in a really ugly spot?
Of course you are.
Just the fact that this cloud is hanging over everybody right now. And you know what? Credit to Travis Green that he is getting half-decent efforts out of this group right now, even though it seems like everybody around seems to understand he is on his last legs as Canucks coach. But the longer you leave this on, the worse it gets. And we've been saying that for more than a week now. It's not a good look. It's not a good sales pitch to potential employees that you may want in the future. All of these things matter in how you build your franchise and set it up for success. And how you handle these processes says a lot about the way you run your franchise. And right now, the Canucks aren't getting a passing grade in any of those things. Never mind what's on the roster and everything else. Just how you go about running these things is of big concern to me, and it should be to everybody around, because this is, you know, it's not a good look for everybody involved. It looks bad on the team, looks bad on the GM, looks bad on the coach. Like, nobody's reputations are getting better out of this. And that's just something you can't do as a franchise. And the fact that they've continued to let this go on, maybe they make a change by the end of the week before they come home. I don't know. Nobody knows the timeline exactly. But this, it feels worse and worse. And I'm getting to the point where I feel sorry for those involved that it's lasted this long.
Yeah, you got to have enough self-awareness to understand that your organization over the last 3-4 years, Reach, has been one that does have leaks. Information comes out. So if you are in a position that you're looking at making a change, which everybody in the hockey world is led to believe the Canucks are going to because they aren't winning. And beyond that, we're hearing those conversations from an Elliott Friedman, from a Sat. If you're going to do that, you're not the organization to probably sit on it. You got to at some point make a change. And the time for the change is now, because at some point it's going to be a situation where the coach and GM in question, if those are indeed the changes you're looking at, they're going to be finding out through other people. They're going to be finding out of those rumors at the very least. And it is not a comfortable spot to be in. It is a bad reputational place to be in as well, right? So you don't want to get there. So I think there's a little bit of self-awareness. You got to say, all right, what organization are we? Information has been coming out the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You got to be ahead of it. You can't be reacting to it because that makes you look bad. So we see where this is headed. And that's why that move, like, I can understand if you're making organizational change and it's going to be a huge change, why you'd wait. But you also have to realize, are we the organization to wait in this sense? Or should we just make those moves? I think you have to be kind of similar to Montreal, where you're saying, we're going to have to make some move. But some things
Montreal,
will be a work in progress.
As soon as things started to leak, they sped up the process. We can't have this. We've got to make the move right now.
And they're a work in progress.
They made the decision yesterday.
And they're a work in progress right now. They don't have a GM. They held on to their coach. But they're still getting the work done. Is Vancouver, and whatever these changes may be whenever they come, I think you have to start thinking that way, because right now Travis Green is having to answer those questions pretty much after every single game. Jim Benning, whenever he's got the next availability.
Yeah. He may not have another.
He might not have one, but if he does have one, guess what the first question is going to be? Guess what the first 3 or 4 questions will be?
Yeah.
Or at the very least, your name is being mentioned as you're going to be out of a job. Nobody wants to be in that position and having to answer those or even think about those things.
It is the People's Show. Let's go to the People's Text Line, brought to you by Dunbar Lumber. Donkey the Roofer, do you guys find it hard not to swear on the radio these days? Donkey, yes. The answer is unequivocally yes.
There's moments.
Shane, unfortunately, the team needs to be blown up and purged to get rid of the losing culture. Steve in East Van, I'm surrounded by local hockey folks, and I don't hear anyone thinking this version of the Canucks is the same as the bubble Canucks. Don't hear any fans either. But what was that Dan was ranting about? I'm referencing, Steve, what the organization continues to say, what Jim Benning said on this show 10 days ago now in his last availability. I specifically asked him, did you misevaluate this roster in that it's better than it actually is? He said no, and referenced the bubble as a reason why. That was the point I was making.
You know what the bubble is now? It's like Narnia. It was this place that some people claimed existed, and there was a moment where we all believed. But it's kind of a fantasy place.
Yeah.
It was in a weird season. It was a moment in time. It was bit fantasy. The bubble in Edmonton for the Canucks was Narnia. Like, you'll never go back to it.
No.
It's a fantasy land. You had a moment.
Jacob Markstrom.
You stepped
Chris
out of the wardrobe and it was gone. It was over. Finished.
It's done. Tyler Toffoli, Chris Tanev, Jacob Markstrom, they were all a dream. Maybe not. But.
Yeah, you got a Narnia reference on this show.
Yeah. I played Mr. Beaver in the in the high school play.
Okay.
Chronicles of Narnia.
This might surprise people, but I was a huge Chronicles of Narnia fan as a kid, reading those books.
All right, enough of that. Jacob, why don't one of you campaign for the GM job?
I mentioned self-awareness in the previous rant I had. I have self-awareness to realize what I'd be good at in GM at the Vancouver Canucks. No. And I think Reach believed the exact same thing. You think you could do a better job, yeah?
On NHL 22?
Yeah, exactly.
Or the old Eastside Hockey Manager, which I was really great at.
Self-awareness.
Well, it'd probably give you like 8 years to learn the ropes.
You could learn on the job.
Even I, after like 4 years in that game of not making the playoffs, I'd probably be like, I'm done with this. You get sick of it and leave.
In fairness, it might take me 8 years to get through the CBA, every little nook and cranny of it.
We had this text, unsigned. $5 fine for talking about the bubble. We can't find guests. If Jim Benning or Francesco Aquilini's on the show, we can't. All right, hand over $5.
Yeah, can't do it. We're going to have a jar every time the bubble gets mentioned. Is there something about Montreal's setup that the Canucks can learn from as they continue to go through this process of finding the next regime? Whether or not it happens, I guess, is still up in the air, because we were kind of here last year until Francesco's tweets that said, everybody's safe. We're not making any decisions right now. But is there something that the Canucks can take from how the Habs are setting up their new front office?
Oh, you know what I'm going to say.
What's that?
The president of hockey operations.
Well, executive vice president in the Habs case.
Fair enough. Whatever you want to call it. I don't care. You can call it to the, you know, the assistant to the regional manager. I don't care. I don't care. But there's got to be a...
Is the next GM going to be Dwight Schrute?
He might be. Dwight did have issues with authority, though. He was loyal. He was loyal to Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Anyways, the buffer. Mm-hmm. The buffer is important. And as much as this is about a position, it's also about a mentality of how you assign the autonomy to that said person. So this is also are the Canucks in a position to be offering that and offering that autonomy? But to me, it is, when I talk about organizational direction, when I talk about vision, you have somebody that crafts that vision, brings in a GM that speaks to that vision, and every level of the organization has cohesion on that vision. That goes from, you know, obviously ownership, but from ownership down to the president, that's going to have that autonomy, to the GM, to the players. And you bring in those players and the coaches, of course. So, Reach, I look at that Montreal situation and say, hey, Gorton's heading in there with a direction. And we've seen with the last couple of years that Molson doesn't shy away from, you know, putting the money out there. But you need to have that one person that is going to set that direction. You can't have one person doing two or three jobs. I think the Canucks have been doing too much of that the last 3 or 4 years, where, no, the ultimate focus of the president is to hire people that are going to be really good in the specialized positions that they're in, whether that's director of player personnel, whether that's a GM, whatever that may be. But you got to have that one person set that direction.
It's, I think it's apparent that the Canucks need somebody that can really manage up to the owners. And also, given the market, and I think this is why Montreal is going this way, but given the market and everything that comes with being the GM, again, look at pictures of Marc Bergevin 8 years ago, before he took the job with the Habs, and now, you know, still looks pretty good, but he's aged.
He's way more swole now than he was.
That's
before.
True. He's been pumping iron for sure, reading all those Arnold books. But look at Jim too. You know, yep. He's aged quite a bit in his 8 years under the guise of the Vancouver Canucks. I think it takes a lot out of a person to do this job in these markets. Ultimately, the two toughest markets in the NHL. Vancouver and Montreal are that. Okay? I've worked in Toronto, grew up in Toronto. It is not nearly as bad as this here in Vancouver or in Montreal. Because there, you start thinking about the Blue Jays if the Leafs are bad, or the Raptors, or whatever else. You move on. Here, Canucks fans are Canucks fans. All due respect to the Whitecaps and the Lions, just doesn't register the same.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference in Vancouver and in Montreal. There is no hiding when you are with these organizations. And that's why I think it's that much more apparent to have two people doing the job, a GM and a president that can manage up to ownership, really have a look at the big picture and designing that way forward, the direction of the franchise, and a GM that handles more of the day-to-day. I just think it's so needed in all of these Canadian markets, and certainly here in Vancouver.
And it's rare that somebody can do both, but Ken Holland does hold that sort of authority where you're walking in and saying, hey, I've been there, done that, Daryl Cates, if you want me, this is something that, this is my one demand. And it worked in Ken Holland's case, but there's not many Ken Hollands out there. Reach, we've got a lot of interesting things on the text line.
What just happened?
The Dwight Schrute reference launched a number of texts from the office. 650, 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Luke the bartender coming in with this. I feel like we're truly in the Robert California era of this Canucks regime. Yeah, that wasn't a great part of the office. It wasn't.
Did a wrong answers only just start all of
a sudden? It might have. I got one more text, though.
Okay.
Before I do anything, I ask myself, would an idiot do that? And if the answer is yes, I do not do that thing. Signed, Dwight Schrute, texting in. That's a great, great way to run an organization.
Yeah. All right. It is the People's Show. Dan Riccio and Randy Janda. Coming up, Frank Saravalli is going to join us. We'll dive in more onto what the Habs did today, potential GM candidates for them, and who else is up for jobs in the near future should opportunities continue to open. Plus the Canucks situation and how the league is viewing their holding pattern right now. It's the People's Show, Sportsnet 650.
Now back to The People's Show with Sat, Dan, and Randy on Sportsnet 650.
You're listening on Sportsnet 650, potentially listening on your favorite podcast or Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, leave a review, do appreciate it. Spotify, that's right, we're now up on Spotify as well. Give us a follow there. That way you never miss a show. And on the podcast, we are looking at ways that we can serve up some of our daily Canucks tickets to you, the podcast listeners. So continue listening. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you, and we want to give you the chance to get in on our daily Canucks ticket giveaways. I know we get a lot of texts about those giveaways right now, some being sarcastic, but at the end of the day, Elias Pettersson's going to figure it out at some point. Right, Randeep?
Absolutely. Connor Garland, you want to watch him. He's breaking ankles across the league. Just ask Trent Frederick.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we actually have texts saying, when are you giving them away? We want to know. We're not dropping any hints.
No, they happen every day on the People's Show. Now, you don't know what time that will be, but it will happen. So today, between 1 and 3:30, it's going to happen. Tomorrow, between 3 and 7 o'clock, it will happen. Every single day, lower bowl seats to an upcoming Canucks game. And by the way, the game we are giving away tickets for, just so happy to see Sidney Crosby in town Saturday on Hockey Night in Canada against your Vancouver Canucks. Only so many more opportunities you'll have to see Sid at Rogers Arena as he gets into his mid-30s. So it's one of those days that we need to have a wrong answers only. And given what we talked about in the last segment, how the Canucks are looking for an assistant to the regional manager.
Yep.
It was a joke made on the executive vice president title that's been given to Jeff Gorton. All these fancy hockey titles are always fun. But in any
case,
just
call him the head of hockey.
Yeah. The head
of hockey.
The head of hockey and stuff. What or who should be the Canucks president of hockey ops? Wrong answers only. We talked about Dwight Schrute. Who should be the Canucks president of hockey ops? Wrong answers only. I'm excited to see the creativity.
Oh yeah, and this kind of generally we plan things before the show, and we'll have a wrong answers only we come in with. This was shout out to the listeners of the People Show. You kind of brought the creativity. Robert California was mentioned.
Yeah,
this does kind of feel like that final season of The Office where everything is not going great. Didn't The Office run for 8 years too? I think it did.
Yeah.
I think it had 8 seasons, just like the tenure of Jim Benning.
So, answer that. Wrong answers only. 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. We'll get to some of those responses coming up in just a little bit. But now joining us, he's a man of the people. He's the insider. Joins us every Monday on The People Show. It's Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff. What's up, Frank?
Man of the people. And I feel like the people are getting big-timed a little bit today by Sat not joining us.
Sat's just like, I think I'm going to take the early afternoon on before I get to this next Canucks game. The Canucks haven't given us a lot to be excited about.
I guess you got to save your words. Like, how many times can you repeat yourself?
Exactly. It's kind of crazy that we've
been... I kind of feel for you guys in that sense. Like, at least I get to, you know, dink in and dink out of these hits. And just dabble market to market. You guys are living it every day.
It's how do you say the same thing every day differently? That is kind of what it's become, because the story really hasn't changed for the last, like, for the entire season, but certainly the last couple of weeks, Frank, as you know, it's now out in the open that the Canucks are actively searching for new people for the organization, but still haven't pulled the trigger yet on anything. And while this happens, the games just kind of happen.
Yeah, and I think it's created quite the awkward dynamic. I mean, you saw how things unfolded in Montreal, and if that's any sort of roadmap for the Canucks on how to not handle this, I would say that'd be a pretty good one, because, you know, you see the way it unravels with Mark Bergevin twisting in the wind a little bit. He is also dealing with COVID, and I think he was quarantined over the weekend until yesterday. And so there was that whole mess. His top lieutenant in Scott Mellenby, someone that he envisioned as a successor, resigning, a little bit surprising. And then of course the fatal blow, you know, him being jettisoned alongside Trevor Timmons and their PR man and Paul Wilson. It was a mess, a full-blown four-alarm fire. And I think it's kind of, in some ways, getting to that direction just with all the different chatter and rumor we hear about people that the Canucks are engaging with, talking with quietly, to be, you know, the next whoever, coach, general manager, president of hockey ops, whatever title it might be. It's clear that there's conversation ongoing. They just, I guess, are going to wait until they're good and ready.
Well, Frank, regarding those conversations, what are you hearing? What's the, you know, are you picking up anything on those conversations that you can share?
I think the key for me, and maybe to not wade too deep into it, is nothing that's really gotten traction. I've heard a couple different names connected, you know, in the last couple days. That I think part of the hard part in parsing through this, and the reason I'm not playing coy or being a tease, is one of the things that's difficult to parse through when you're a reporter covering a story like this, and obviously the Aquilinis hold their cards pretty close to the vest, is you also don't know if the names you're hearing are people that are simply politicking or campaigning for the role and are helping pump their name out there. So I think that's why I'm a little bit cautious. And the other part is, if there was really some smoke to some of the names that we've heard out there, that there would have been some traction by now and we would have seen a move, because some of these people have been available for a while.
Well, we know Montreal is looking for a bilingual general manager to mm-hmm. work with Jeff Gorton. But when you are seeing these open opportunities, you know, Anaheim is currently looking for a new GM. You know, who are the names that come up most often in when opportunities do come open?
Well, Jeff Gorton was a big one. And I think that sort of hastened Montreal's approach. You know, right from kind of the very beginning, even when Chicago, you know, was in the situation that they had with Stan Bowman resigning and the other people in their front office getting fired, Kyle Davidson promoted to interim, you know, right away, one of the first things that you heard sort of running through the rumor mill was Jeff Gorton. And a lot of that, people believe, is at the recommendation of the commissioner's office. And you saw Jeff Molson today, you know, basically confirm that he had consulted with Gary Bettman. And it almost feels like, in some ways, at times, you know, one person not to say Gary Bettman's a kingmaker, but one person seems to be a popular choice, and you know, it just is a matter of time before that person gets back in the chair again. And I think in Anaheim, it's been super methodical. I think, you know, their approach has been different in that I believe they want to go with an external candidate, not that they don't think Jeff Solomon and or Dave Notis could do the job. I think they've been focused on waiting until as long as they need to interview whoever they need to that's currently employed with another club. In Chicago, I'm can't say with 100% certainty, but I think Kyle Davidson is getting a long look for that job. And in some ways, I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up being the guy that ends up being Chicago's general manager. And that's not to say that there's not a president of hockey ops involved. And I think when you bring it back to the Canucks, when you think that Vancouver could be going down the president of hockey operations path, that Chicago might be hiring for that role in addition, and Anaheim Ducks seem to really be in love with that idea as well, that type of structure, like we're talking about 2, 4, potentially 5 people, and then including the GM in Montreal, that's 6 openings at the moment. So that's a lot of people, and there just simply haven't been enough available open candidates outside of some of the other names that have recently or somewhat recently moved on from other organizations. Other names that have popped up, Dale Tallon is one, Jim Rutherford is another. So those are sort of the names that continue to churn.
And there's also implies there's going to be a fair bit of competition as well whenever another, you know, big-time candidate, maybe like a Gorton, pops up. Speaking of the Canucks specifically, though, you know, when we look at this organization...
By the way, just to stop you for a sec, that I think, like, if you were to think about what the Canucks look like at the moment, my guess is that they're like a duck swimming. You know, everything looks fine up top, but they're paddling furiously underneath the water.
Okay, so there's a lot of work being done, but... Talking about the Canucks and where they are kind of situated in the league, and we're in the belly of the beast. We've seen, you know, in a lack of a, for a lack of better words, the gong show that this season has been. But Frank, from a league-wide perspective, how desirable of a landing spot is this for a top GM or coach?
I think it's a pretty big one. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. One, you don't need to tear it down to the studs. You've got some building blocks that you can build around with a Quinn Hughes, with a Thatcher Demko, you know, foundational pillar, provided that he, you know, continues to, you know, make some progress in terms of finding his game again. And Elias Pettersson, you know, you've got what could be a heart and soul guy in Bo Horvat, a guy in JT Miller who's done just about everything you'd ask, and Connor Garland. I mean, you see him in Boston again, like, unbelievable. There's enough there, and I think there's some intriguing young pieces that I think this is – it would be a pretty sought-after position. There's attention. There's sometimes some negative pressure and or heat. You know, the water in Vancouver seems to come to a boil quicker than it does in other markets, even other Canadian markets. And that's not a knock on anyone. You guys know how you are better than anyone, so I don't need to tell you. But I think it would certainly be looked at as something pretty desirable.
How important, I think this is maybe even more so for Canadian markets, just given, as you just said, the heat of Vancouver and how quickly the water can start to boil. We see, you know, Jeff Gorton's going to be the executive vice president. He's going to hire himself a GM to handle maybe some of the media duties and the day-to-day stuff. Do you think that's a structure Vancouver should be looking at?
I personally sometimes struggle with the idea of it just because it's nice to have a sounding board. It's nice to have an additional layer of support. It's nice to have someone that can take bullets for you with ownership. I think all those parts of it are intriguing. But when I think you get down to it and you look at that position as a line item, like unless they're really digging in and doing the work that the general manager does, I'm not sure that it really is a position overall that contributes much to your team's overall success. So that's sort of the conclusion that I've made in thinking about it. That's just my own personal opinion. I think the Canadiens one has the ability to flip everything on its head just because Jeff Gorton is not going to be a traditional structure where, you know, the president of hockey ops, in this case, the title is executive vice president of hockey ops, has, you know, this figurehead role. This is Jeff Gorton at the controls, and he's going to be making all the final decisions and calls in collaboration with the French-speaking general manager that he hires. And I view that really as just a one-off, unique situation that the Canadiens have done to find a creative workaround to what's a pressure point in their market, which is having a French-speaking voice that speaks to their fan base on a, you know, regular basis. And so they've found a way to go out and hire who they believe is the best person available for the job, who also happens to be an American and an Anglophone. And when you think about that, that's a huge departure from what the Canadiens have always done, which is deal from a short deck. So they've increased their talent pool. Now they can go out and get someone that is potentially younger, inexperienced, and can grow in conjunction with Jeff Gorton. And in that case, I think the role is extremely valuable. But if you're going to just do it in a more traditional way, like Brian Burke is in Pittsburgh, and that's not to knock Brian Burke, it's just that I think he'd be the first to tell you he's not getting his hands dirty every day. Ron Hextall is. If that's the type of structure you want to put in place, what value does that really bring to your team?
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Frank Saravalli. Frank, you know, we talk about the changes in Montreal. It does bring up the question of Marc Bergevin. What's your, you know, do you think he gets back into it and gets wants a job immediately, or is he one of those names that's on the top of some team's list?
I'd imagine that he'll be in demand. I think a lot of people are curious to see what Marc Bergevin would be like outside of the pressures of Montreal, something in, maybe a little bit more relaxed, so to speak. And I think he'd probably also, my guess is, would want a little bit of time to maybe sort things out and to have a chance to take a deep breath after all that time in the pressure cooker. But I do think that at some point he'll be back in. I wouldn't be surprised if it's as soon as this offseason if there are more changes. And I think because of the reason that we just talked about, the talent pool being seemingly so small, and it being somewhat rare that teams have people in their front office, assistant GMs and high-ranking directors of amateur scouting, be plucked from their organization in the middle of a season, that his name instantly becomes more intriguing because of the opportunities that are out there, because of the short list of people that are available.
Well, one of his AGMs in Montreal, Scott Mellenby, as well, resigned on Saturday. And this is an individual that does have links to Vancouver. He worked in the Gillis regime way back when. But is he an individual that we look at and say he could be ready for that GM position? I know it felt like he was maybe promised that in Montreal, or he was suggested for that job. But when we look at his next opportunities, is he somebody to watch?
Without a doubt, 100%. I think he... When you talk to people in the know, they say that Scott Mellenby's paid his dues. He's done the work. He's been around the game forever. And, you know, this is 15 years since his playing career ended. He did jump in behind the bench as an assistant coach for a bit, but has really spent the last while, you know, 8-9 years working with Marc Bergevin as one of his trusted advisors to grow, to have an opportunity like this. And, you know, I think perhaps we get a little bit wrapped up in the, you know, were promises made, were they not? Like, I don't think any promises are ever made. You know, if someone comes along that the team feels is a better fit for the job than you, they're going to make the decision and move on. It's as simple as that. It's not about, you know, this guy was here for a while and he deserves the next shot. It's about what's best for the team. And so when I look at, you know, some of these openings, like he's interviewed, to my knowledge, four times or has been in the conversation four times for a number of GM openings, has fallen short in terms of getting there. But I don't have any doubt in my mind that he'll ultimately be there sooner rather than later.
A couple final things before we let you go. Evander Kane clears waivers. What's next?
Well, what's next is a trip to the AHL, which lucky for him is in San Jose, plays out of the same building with the Barracuda, and he's going to have to try and find a way to work his way back, see what kind of shape he's in, see if he can generate some trade interest. His new agent, Dan Milstein, tweeted about that he will report, and that obviously they're hoping to have him land somewhere else. For me, I just have a hard time believing that there's going to be takers at even at half price at $3.5 million. Maybe it involves unloading a contract back that is equally unpalatable. But there's so much that is following Evander Kane at this point. You know, put aside everything that happened this summer. Like I just go back to the nuts and bolts of this, which is what I reported back in June and July, is the San Jose Sharks had made it clear that they had no interest in having Evander Kane back this season. They let management know in exit meetings. And my belief is that Evander Kane, they had begun to shop him at that point. When everything else that followed, the fake COVID vaccination card, getting him a 21-game suspension, the domestic abuse allegations, the, you know, the gambling allegations, all that stuff just took someone whose toxicity level was already pretty high to, you know, like DEFCON 4 levels. And so that is something that I just don't know how a team at this point, no matter how good or bad things have been for your team, can look at that and risk assessment and say, you know what? Yeah, we can roll the dice on Evander Kane, given what's left on his contract and the term remaining at 3 years.
Frank, appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
There's Frank Saravalli, our insider every Monday on The People Show.
A lot of great stuff there.
Yeah.
A lot of information. Still don't know really where this Canucks thing is going. He basically compared it to a duck swimming, right?
Yes.
Hey, calm. Above the water.
Yes.
Underneath the water, a lot's going on.
A lot
happening. Behind the scenes. Some names have been floated, but he doesn't really want to get into the conversation because you never know. You never know, right? So, but it's kind of what we've heard. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of legwork that's being done. A lot of, I wouldn't want to say preparations, but information gathering and movement.
Yeah.
But nothing's come out yet.
It's just really frustrating that they weren't more prepared for a scenario like this unfolding. And that it's gotten to this state where they are frantically behind the scenes trying to get a new plan in place for the future of the Vancouver Canucks. But it is where we are. Coming up after 2 o'clock, we'll discuss a little bit more about all of these things with the Canucks. Brad Marchand had an interesting take on Canadian media last night as well. I want to get to that. We'll get into it after 2 o'clock. Renaud Lavoie will join us after 2:30. More on the Montreal Canadiens sweeping changes in their front office as the Canucks and Habs get set for puck drop at Le Centre Bell tonight. 4:30 puck drop here on Sportsnet 650. But Randeep, it's time for the People's Trivia. Every day on The People Show, we give you an opportunity to win a pair of lower bowl seats to the Canucks' upcoming home game. That is this Saturday, December 4th, at Rogers Arena against the Pittsburgh Penguins. You answer this skill testing question at 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line, and producer Josh Elliott Wolf will pick out one lucky winner to go to Saturday night's game at Rogers Arena. Randeep, what's our question today?
We were asking for wrong answers only earlier.
Yes.
We want the right answer here. The question is, which former Canuck forward signed as a free agent with Montreal last season?
It's a tough one.
Very difficult.
Trying to remember. I think you may know. answer it.
Might still haunt you in your dreams, actually.
It does for many. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Coming up, more on the Canucks. Get into some NFL talk as well. Sportsnet 650.